whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So as we see here in John 2:23, it says they believed when they saw the miracles. They believed in Christ. And as we see here in Ephesians 1:12 and 13, God equates believing with trusting because they are the same thing. So there's many in the world that believe in the person of Christ in the sense that they believe he existed. They believe that he worked miracles. They believe he died on the cross. They believe he rose again. They believe many facts about Christ. That doesn't make them saved. It's when we place our faith in Christ and what he did at Calvary and trust him for our eternal destiny. That is when we are saved. And so these people, when they saw the miracles, they believed. And if you go to John 6, we'll see it again. John chapter 6, where we see the Jews continually asking for a sign. Notice John 6:30. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? You know, the Bible tells us 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Jews require a sign. And the Jews were constantly asking Christ for a sign. Now, we already saw where he said, I'm going to give you a sign, and that sign is the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as he was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The sign of the proof of the person of Christ, he said, will be his death, burial, and resurrection. And that's the heart of our gospel, isn't it? The death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So they said, we want to see a sign. Well, a sign isn't going to lead people to Christ. As a matter of fact, we read in Luke 16 that the rich man asked Abraham to send someone back so his brothers wouldn't come to the place of torment. And his answer was, they have Moses and the prophets. If they won't believe the word of God, they won't believe even if someone comes back from the dead. Well, you know what? Someone did come back from the dead and people won't believe. Jesus Christ came back from the dead. We date our calendars by him. And yet people don't believe. So it's about our hearts. It's about the condition of man. It's not about the reality of what Christ did and who he was. Because the Bible tells us in the last days, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders. There's going to be amazing miracles come. But the purpose of those miracles will be for the Antichrist to lead people astray and to lead them to worship the Antichrist. How sad. Ultimately, to worship Satan. So we as Christians are told that we're to walk by what? Faith or sight? Faith. We walk by faith. And when we get saved, we are placing our faith in Jesus Christ. It's not based on sight. So back to our passage, John 2, it says they believed when they saw. And it tells us in verse 24, Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. Isn't that interesting? So this particular crowd at Jerusalem at the Passover, it says they believed in his name, but he chose not to commit himself unto them. Because it says in verse 25, he knew what was in man. Now that is a statement of his deity, isn't it? That he actually knew their thoughts. That won't ever be said by a human. Jesus was God in the flesh. God knows the thoughts of man. God says in Jeremiah, or Jehovah says in Jeremiah 17, I, the Lord, search the heart. So Jehovah searches the hearts. But then we're told here that Jesus knew what was in man. If you go to Matthew 9, we'll show you some other examples of this. So Jesus was in another way proving his deity, which there were many statements and things that he did that proved his deity, but this was another one, the fact that he knew people's thoughts. Notice Matthew 9:4. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? So Jesus, knowing their thoughts, only God can do that. Can actually read our thoughts. But Jesus, therefore, is God. So the Bible says he knew what was in man. He chose not to commit himself unto this crowd of people there in Jerusalem, these Jews, because he knew their hearts and he knew there was something missing there. They weren't sincere. He knew something that caused him to not commit himself unto them because he knew their thoughts. He knew their hearts. But what should we learn from that? Well, God knows our hearts too. We can't keep secrets from God. We're told in Matthew 6 to go into our prayer closet when we pray, right? When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And it says, thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That all that does is build our faith, right? When we get alone and we pray for something and nobody else is praying for it and then God answers it, we know he answered our prayer. It's just between us and God. And that's good. That shows us that God's listening. God cares about us. Go to Psalm 90 verse 8 where the Bible teaches us that it is silly for us to try to keep secrets from God. But we have that tendency. And we inherited it from our parents, didn't we? What's the first thing Adam and Eve did when they sinned? Just tried to hide from God. Try to keep it a secret what they had done. Psalm 90 verse 8, thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. With God there are no secret sins because he knows all sins. He knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows everything about us. Therefore, as we talked in Job in chapter 3, we need to be honest with God and not try to keep secrets from God, but honest about where we are in our sin, honest about where we are in our thoughts, because he already knows. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 51, verse 6, if you want to turn back there, great psalm about David repenting after his sin with Bathsheba. Notice what he says in Psalm 51, 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. So truth in the inward parts. When we get alone and it's just us and God, God wants truth. God wants honesty. He doesn't want us to try to hide things from him or twist them around, try to make us look better than we are. He wants the truth. And we'll read it again in Proverbs 15, verse 2. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 2. So if we can take something away from this passage where Christ knew what was in man, it's that he knows what's in us. Notice Proverbs 15, 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. No, that's not right. Oh, it's Psalms 15, 2. I'm sorry. Eyesight's getting bad. Psalms 15:2. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell on thy holy hill? Verse 2. He that walketh uprightly, worketh righteousness, and, there it is, speaketh the truth in his heart. It's one thing that we need to speak the truth to each other, and we're commanded to, but we need to speak the truth in our heart with our Lord. Because as it says here, he knew what was in man. So Jesus made a decision about this particular group of people. It says that they believed in his name after they saw his miracles, but Christ chose not to commit himself unto them because he knew their hearts. They knew there was something wrong. They were either not being sincere or there was something there that Christ decided not to commit himself unto them. But it was a way of him also showing that he is God. And he knows our thoughts. He knows our hearts. He knows everything about us. Doesn't the Bible say that every idle word will be a give account? So God knows it all. And that's what we can take away from this tonight is he knows everything about us. He knows our thoughts. So when you get alone with him every day, just be honest. He knows anyway. Amen? He knew what was in man. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your